Yes, I think one of my favorite verses is, in my weakness, he is made strong. So I know that he will be so strong in this moment. I'll just share with you something that I've really felt that the Lord has been speaking to me about. And I was reminded a few weeks ago about a Latin concept that a friend of mine shared with me in the beginning of the year. And it is, it's just a phrase, coram Deo. And translated, it means before the face of God. And it speaks about how our whole life is lived before the face of God. The easy parts, the difficult parts, the busy parts, the quiet parts, all of it is lived before the face of God. In his presence, under his authority, and for his glory. And then, I felt that the Lord highlighted these three scriptures to me, and I'll just read them. I'm not sure. It's not, yeah. Okay. The first one is Ephesians 5, verse 10, and it says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 16 and 17, it says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And Philippians 4, verse 5 says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. And that considerate, for me, when I hear that, I think about carefully thinking about what we do. So yeah, I've just felt that the Lord has really called me to be more intentional and to prayerfully and carefully consider my ways, my life, my actions, my words, my thoughts. Are they pleasing to Him? Are they done in obedience to what He is asking of me? Do I even know what He is asking of me? Or am I just flippantly doing whatever the day is bring towards me? So I feel like He's calling me to pause more, to look to Him as I live before His face, to inquire of Him, to be coram Deo before His face and ask, is this what you want of me? How does obedience look in this moment? And what would be pleasing to you? So I just quickly want to read two of those verses again. Ephesians 5, verse 16 and 17. It says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Philippians 4, verse 5. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. So also when I hear that, the scriptures, I hear something about a limited time that we all have. Like, are we making the most of the time that we have? And for me personally, I was convicted about that because life has just been busy and it's been onerstebuwe. And I feel like even in the busy season, and especially in the busy season, I'm called to carefully consider, because life will always be busy, or life will always bring something that's not the norm, or something that is difficult or a challenge. But all of my life, not just the easy or the quiet parts, all of my life is lived before the face of God. So I just hope that when I hear before the face of God, I'm filled with a little bit of a reverence. So I think that's my hope, that as you think about that, as you consider, that you will also experience a bit of the reverence in that my life is lived before the face of God, and let us all make the most of every opportunity that we are given.
Yeah, so on Monday, I took my dog for a walk, and I wasn't going to start off by saying that, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to show that even in the daily, in somewhat the mundane, that if your heart is postured to always be expectant to hear from Him, that He will speak to you. So I'm always excited to take my dog for a walk, not just because it makes him happy, but it's such an amazing time I get to spend with the Lord as well. And on Monday, the Lord brought a word to my mind that's linger. So the definition is to stay in a place longer than expected, often because of a reluctance to leave. And I really started to ponder on this word and was thinking about, you know, how often do we just rush off to the next thing? You just read a quick Bible verse and move on, just come to church and leave quickly because we've done what we needed to do and we tick a box. But how many of us are in a place where we are lingering in the Lord's presence? That we're taking time just to sit and to be with Him because He's awesome and He's lovely. So I asked the Lord to show me an example in the Bible where somebody lingered in His presence. And He took me to Exodus 33, verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. And I really just sat there and started praying to the Lord to give me a heart to always just want to linger, not to move on. And I wrote this down. I said, I must be in love with His presence. Our relationship should never feel like I'm ticking a box. But as a deer pants for water, so my soul should long for Him and His presence and be saturated in it and linger. Do not be in a rush to leave once the water has been drunk, once I've gotten what I need, but to sit beside still water on green pastures and enjoy the sight, the sounds, the smell, the taste, and the touch of His presence. And to me, that really just sums up what it is to have the heart of worship. Is not to want to move on, but have a life that's surrendered and that's continuously want to be at His feet no matter what. So I hope you don't mind, but I really felt this week that we should sing Heart of Worship. And if you know the song, you can sing with. If you don't, it's okay. But either way, I think we should really consider the words of the song. It's actually written from a place where the guy repented because he made worship about a show, about the lights, about what people saw about him, and not about the essence that God is so awesome and so wonderful and deserves our worship. We were created to worship, and that just means to be in relationship with Him. So maybe we can all close our eyes even, and then we can, sing the song and really just ponder on the words. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things. King of endless words, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart.
Funny, because it was the exact same scripture that I felt and that the Lord spoke to me through. But what stood out to me was where it says that Moses spoke to him face to face as one does with a friend. And just this desire that the last 2 weeks has been, Lord, I want to be your friend. It's like he's spoken to me about being his servant, about being his son and laying my life down, but to be his friend. I've never really explored that before. And it's like this whole new aspect that's just been so precious to me the past few moments, actually. And there's actually a song that came to mind about this. And I don't think many of you guys know this song. But it's also about just being his friend and how we can miss him.
It's easy to say in a moment that I'll always love you. But at the end of the day, when my head's laid to rest, have I even spoken to you? It's easy to sing at the top of my lungs that I'll give it all. But when nobody's watching, do I always bring you my sacrifice? Oh, it's easy to say in a moment that I'll always love you. But at the end of the day, when my head's laid to rest, have I even spoken to you? It's easy to sing at the top of my lungs that I'll give it all. But when nobody's watching, do I always bring you my sacrifice? Lord, I want to love you daily. Lay down my life for your story daily. Lift up my voice for your glory daily. Bring you my first every time. Lord, I want to love you daily. Lay down my life for your story daily. Lift up my voice for your glory daily. Bring you my first every time. Every day of my life. not just a shallow friendship. Just take me deeper, Lord. My first every time. Oh Lord, I want to love you daily. Lay down my life for your story daily. Lift up my voice for your glory daily. Bring you my first every time. Oh Lord, I want to love you daily. Lay down my life for your story daily. Lift up my voice for your glory daily. Bring you my first every time.
David. Hello, family. It's you can feel the Holy Spirit moving in this place. It is so beautiful, and it's almost like I don't want to speak. I just want to dwell in that presence, like Justine was saying, and linger. And I was reminded what Andre was saying about Moses, and I've always felt like that, like. If I was there in front of the burning bush, like what would I do? Like what would I say? We're in his presence now. Because of what Jesus did for us, what he accomplished for us on the cross, we are blameless before his presence. Isn't that amazing? And I want to encourage all of you. I'm standing here as a living testimony of what he's done in my life. This would have been very hard for me to do a couple of years back. There's a testimony I would like to share for another time, but this is God's work in my life. This is God's, only by God's strength. I give him all the glory. And something that encouraged me this morning when I was reading is when in 2 Samuel 6:16, it talks about when David was bringing in the ark into the city and he couldn't control himself. Like he was so happy. He was dancing undignified with all of his might, even so that his wife got shocked and actually got displeased with him. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it amazing that you can't contain yourself? You've got to let it out. When you're in God's presence, it's beautiful. It's amazing. And let us be a little bit more undignified. And that's why I want to encourage you. If there's anyone that wants to share anything, speak to David. Be used by God. And also something I want to share is when after that, when the ark came into the city, it says that David gave a loaf of bread and a cake of dates and a cake of raisins to each person. So once you have the presence of God in your life, you can't hold it. You just want to bless. You know, it's amazing. It's beautiful. Sharing last week Sunday, for those that weren't here, Mike talked about being living epistles and how we are living letters of Christ to the world, and how through our lives people need to see Jesus in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts, in our deeds. And I went home, and God's really been working on my heart. It's been heavy on my heart this entire week about what kind of book. If I'm a book that people are going to read before they get to read this book, this is my wife's Bible. That's why it's purple and pink and got a lot of butterflies. But what are they going to read in my life? And then God was speaking to me, like the Holy Spirit was really speaking to my heart and saying, like, what story are you telling? Has Jesus really changed the narrative?
in your story? Are you two different people? The one before Jesus, who was walking a life of sin, completely lost, being conformed to the ways of the world. And are you now a new creation in Christ Jesus? Would I have two autobiographies? One before Christ and one after Christ? Has there been a change, a real change in my life? Or am I just doing the things that I did before? And I had to wrestle with that. Because we've all been there. I gave my life to Jesus at the age of 17, and He changed my world. I wanted to tell people about Jesus. I wore Jesus. It was on my shirt, the cross, blood washed, everything, bangles in it. And there was this burning desire within me to just tell the world that Jesus lives. But somewhere through that, the world and life and all the necessaries that this world wants you to have, like this is necessary, and you need to do this, you need to focus on this, you need to put your attention to this. All of that is kind of like, it's dwindled that passion within me. And I had to look at how was I before and how am I now? How am I slowly, since I gave my life to Jesus, how am I slowly starting to conform again to the ways of this world? Am I living a life that represents Christ? Am I living a life that shows the Holy Spirit at work within me? And that doesn't just have to be sin. We get so caught up on sin, and sin's bad, 100%. But what about how we act? How we speak? How we treat one another? What do we think? Does it all represent Christ? If my daughter's sick, do I worry? Do I immediately go into fear? Or do I speak the word of God over her and declare the promise that God has given us through the stripes of Jesus? When I see people that are my enemies and that I hate, do I love them unconditionally and forgive them regardless? Do I treat my wife with honor? And do I love her like Christ loves the church? Do I train up my children in the way that they should go, so when they're older, do not depart? You see, it's not just Wednesdays that come, and it's not just Sundays at church. People are looking at us, like Mike said, all the time. I had to really look at that carefully in my life. Even when you're not looking, even when you don't know, people are watching. Do you represent Christ to the world? When Jesus walked this earth, He said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." I would love for people to say, "I saw Ricky and I saw Jesus in him." This world is lost. They need Jesus. And He gave us all the authority. He gave us all that responsibility. And He gave us the Holy Spirit. And He said, "Greater things you will do in my name." Let us go out and live Christ to the world. Let us shine Jesus in our lives. Let us really change. Let us not be who we were before. Let us walk in the complete opposite direction. And where there's instances in our lives and situations in our life, let's look at the Word of God and how we should be and what we should do, and not what the world has taught us to do and what the world how the world says we should be. So in my life this week, I've been thinking about that. And even if it comes in the form of habit, like, do I read the Word? I do fitness, and I miss fitness. I miss the reading the Word to do fitness. I'm training my body and I'm not training my spiritual life. Like, am I going to create healthy habits in place? Like, for instance, to wake up while it's still dark and meet with the Lord. Like maybe something needs to change in your life and the way that the world has conformed us into doing things. Maybe we need to renew our mind with the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit and change how we do things. Change that narrative in each and every one of us. Guys, see God. This is God's, by God's grace. I'm amazed. Sorry. Mike came up to me and said, don't read from a paper, just to share something. I wrote down this entire paper, and I shared it with my wife, and then she said, get rid of the paper and act on faith. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. It's only because of Him. It's only because of Him that I'm able to stand up today. And yeah, and I want to, this is a word of encouragement to each and every one of us. Don't do it the way the world does it. We are in the world, but not of the world. Let's do it the way Jesus did it. He's the ultimate example, and He gave us His life. He showed us how to do it. So let's be history makers. Let's change the world around us for Jesus. Really, if there's someone in the supermarket, you don't want to go. That's not within you. That's not the world's way. Go up and pray for someone. Or bless someone with their groceries. That's not the world's way. Let's swim. Let's go against what the world is, you know, and live for Christ and represent Him and bring all the glory. I wrote this hymn, and I'm going to finish on this. Who I was before I met Jesus, I was not in a great place. And I was full of pride, and I hurt a lot of people. I mean, my parents didn't know until much later in my life, to the extent of even people. I mean, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what Christ has done for me, to the point of them wanting to commit suicide. Like, I was bad. I was a bully. I'm completely changed because of the love of Jesus. And I wrote this, and this is just reflectant of that, just as Him. I was alive, but now I'm dead, having left my story behind. It's a story of sin, selfishness, and dread. In total darkness, I was blind. Blind to see the impact my life would have and those I would lead astray. Making choices that would not only affect just me, but turn others far away. Because my life existed for me alone, and being fulfilled is all I wanted. And I seeked it in pleasures of this world, but it left me just feeling unwanted. I hurt, I used, abused, and misused everyone that was around me. Trampling over everyone, so I am all you see. But this was not who I was when I entered this world so long ago. I allow the world to mold and shape me to someone I don't know. My decisions and actions became subject to how the world decides. And this left me feeling like a ship being overtaken by the tides. You see, my life is a story of sadness, hopelessness, and despair. And the day I died, something happened that wasn't at all fair. My former life was over now, and the person I was before. And now I deserve what's coming to me and all I have in store. But instead of being sentenced and put away for all my crimes, a man named Jesus chose to pay it all, and not with nickels and dimes. He paid my ransom with His blood, a debt I could not repay. So from that day I became a new creation, but living life a different way. And now my life is no longer about myself and all that I require, but to live a life that reflects His glory is now my one desire. And to accomplish this, I cannot be the man I was in the past. My choice and decisions now need to worship the one I hold steadfast. To point Jesus in all I do, in my words, action, thinking, and deeds. Because the way the world does what it does, from that I am truly freed. And when I enter heaven's gates to now worship our one and only King, it won't be for the fame, the riches, and possessions that I would want to bring. But friends and family, and even those I met along my way. And that is why living a life to reflect Jesus is what I choose today.
Hi, everyone. Oh, wow, this sounds really weird compared to like singing there. Anyways, so I'm Anli, for those who don't know me. This is really hard for me to do. And yeah, I really feel like God has done so much already through everyone who has spoken, and it's been quite mellow. But like David just said, what I'm going to share is something a bit more about zeal. And those who know me, you will know that I am very much like this, all over the place. And I hope that my life screams zeal from the Lord and not just other type of craziness. So I feel so unprepared, but I'm going to go for it. So earlier this week, Mike asked me a question. He asked me, how has God been speaking to me in this past time? And to which I almost replied, in why did he not speak to me? And I started listing a bunch of things. I was like, so when I walk in nature, when I'm speaking to people about God, when I'm reading scripture, when I'm listening to scripture, for those who might not know, I'm super blessed to be working from home. So I get to choose what I fill my head with during the day. And what a blessing it has been to put on a Spotify playlist or a podcast or a preach and have that be what fills my head while I'm busy with what God has called me to do as a job, you know, that the thing we do to actually sustain our life financially, to actually, yeah, in that space be able to fill my head with what God is saying. And yeah, and then I thought about, okay, so what has God been saying? And then it's like to find the golden thread in everything, all those inputs that's like coming in during the week, to find the golden thread. And for me, that was a call to set our hearts ablaze for Jesus. And just a few examples where I found that in the past week. Songs like Stir a Passion in My Heart, Let It Overflow. Those words stuck with me. My heart burns for you. My heart is the wick. Your love is the flame. And I want to burn for your name. And those songs, just like out of a playlist of like 1,000 songs, what are the odds of them coming up over and over and over again? In the scripture that I read in the past week, I've been going through the account of Paul's life, seeing his trials, his tribulations that he went through. And it sounds terrible. It sounds really bad. But somehow Paul is so zealous for God. Like, he is preaching up a storm. Everywhere he gets, he's just like, come on, guys, we're going to do this. And it seems so upside down. It seems so flipped over. And in that, what I found was the zeal of God. And then coming back to that golden thread of God setting our hearts ablaze, stirring up a passion, Him burning within us, and even in whatever we're facing every day, to find whatever God is, whatever is laying on our hearts, for that to be the thing that drives us. I just felt like God kind of coming and igniting my heart with that passion for Him, to proclaim His good news to everyone that I encounter, and with the hope that the Holy Spirit will then also ignite something in them. And as that happens, like, a wildfire starts to spread. So, yeah, that's it.
Josh?
Thanks, Dave. Evening, family. I think this is, for me, I think it's quite an opportunity, quite a landmark to stand in front of a family of so many people. My family's big, but it's not this big. as Dave said, I'm Joshua. I'm a family of six, the youngest of four. But in this week, I was sharing with Mike about the Holy of Holies and how I was reading the Old Testament. in Exodus, and there was a scripture that stood out to me. It's the Exodus 25:8. Have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. You must build this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern I will show you. For me, that's so amazing how the Lord, He was physically there. His presence was there. And as I was reading the Old Testament, it's just that build the tabernacle and I'll be there in the Holy of Holies in the most center. And it was so, so holy that you would actually die. It was so holy, and the Lord was talking to Moses about just what had to be done, and the first sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice of something without blemish, and you would present it to the high priest, and you would go in and wash it clean. And I was just in the week, I was just, Lord, please show me this, like, Lord, I want to really experience that. But then I was just reminded that we don't need to do that. He's always there. His presence is always there. And I was just stuck, Lord, sorry that I have forgotten you and forgotten who you are. And I was just reminded of this scripture in Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 22. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we come boldly into heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. I'm just amazed by His holiness every day. That He has died for us. He sent His Son to die for us, that He paid the price. That we now may enter His presence any time without needing a sacrifice of our own, because Jesus Christ has died for us. And just encouragement, I think, for all of us is that we mustn't forget that we can come to Him any time, and we can come into His presence and fall on our knees and cry to the Lord that whatever we want, whatever our heart, our cries and our tears. And I just that was on me for the week, and I've been chewing on it all week, and I just it's just amazing for me. My tender heart is even more tender of that, of the holiness of God and how He just is. Thank you, Lord.